This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Welcome to World Cafe. Hey, I am Kaleo. When I last caught up with Chris and Rich Robinson of the Black Crowes, it was in person as they were prepared to celebrate 30 years of Shake Your Moneymaker. The brothers had reconciled, reunited, and were excited for the future. What none of us knew was that in 1 week, everything would come grinding to a halt because of the pandemic. So with plans dashed and some time to reflect, the brothers Robinson started writing some new songs. Songs that would end up becoming the Black Crowes' new album, Happiness Bastards. The record wouldn't feel out of place next to some of their early iconic recordings like Shake Your Moneymaker and the Southern Harmony and Musical Companion. The always entertaining and delightfully freewheeling Chris Robinson joins me to talk about making the record, beat poetry, and why he's a sucker for songs about losers. So let's get into it with a track from the new album called Dirty Cold Sun. It's the Black Crowes on World Cafe.
Your fist will fill with fire. Your mouth is spilled black smoke. I would have called it magic, but it was just a hoax. I was taken from the pages of your burning midnight book. In the mirror, you are righteous. Yeah, but I never had a look.
Black Crowes, Dirty Cold Sun. It's from their new album, first in 15 years, called Happiness Bastards. Happy to welcome back to the show, Chris Robinson. Hey, I'm Kaleo. This is World Cafe. Chris, thanks for being here.
Cheers. Thanks. You're happy, but maybe we'll save the bastard part for you until we see how this whole thing goes.
Well, all right. I'll keep my fingers crossed and I'll be
but
on my best
actually,
behavior.
You know, and it's good. It's a good company to be in, I think.
Happiness Bastards?
Well, yes. And I feel like we could be the Black Crowes, a.k.a. the Happiness Bastards.
You know? Well, I heard you lifted the album title. And, you know, great artists, they steal.
What's
the origin story on the album title? Why'd you want to use it?
You know, there are other great books. The titles are, you know, The Bible.
sure.
Grapes of Wrath. I have a completely boring and personal relationship my entire life with literature. Since my wonderful mother put me in the correct place to turn my dyslexia around as a child in Georgia in the early 70s to be able to read. And but that being said, I love one of my big influences and inspirations my whole life is beat literature, of course. You know, I read all the main writers, but there are also, you know, more obscure writers. This guy named Kirby Doyle, I'm probably wrong, but I think it's maybe the only book he wrote. I just thought it was fantastic. And I just was like, oh, that's us. You know what I mean? And It truly represented or represents, I think, where we are because, you know, we, like anything else, three and a half decades, whatever, even getting more, it changes you as a person, an artist, in our case, a partner, bandmates, you know, when we're really like looking at my Rich and myself, my brother. So Happiness Bastards to me just like checked all those things.
Yeah, for fans who like context or subtext for that matter, there's a lot to read into it. You know, when the band got back together in 2019, you made a point to say that the band shouldn't record an album. Like, that's not the first thing we should do. We should be out right. Touring and playing shows called The Road Your Proving Ground. But what happens when a pandemic blows that up?
You know what's funny about that? Yeah, because we were doing like a little set up for the tour, and you know, Rich and I, you know, we get into this world and to our careers and into music through the writing. You know, before I ever would have thought of myself as a vocalist or a performer, or I think Rich as well, we could write. I mean, that's really the engine that starts the whole thing. And it's also a place that we've rarely had any trouble, you know, like with each other fighting or whatever. But, you know, to jump forward to getting the band, we're up and going in 2019, and then the pandemic starts. I mean, I you know, it was the worst, you know, it was horribly anxiety ridden, even though my wife and I, we're out in the most, one of the most beautiful places in the world in West Marin County in Northern California in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
But to be honest, I mean, I need a certain stimulation that's not like the fear of death and destruction and viruses and things. I need travel and I need some sort of poetic construct to put my life in and experience. And I need stimuli, you know, other than that. And so I know I read like, well, we did all this work during the pandemic, and that's like cathartic for some people, but I was like, that's the last kind of thing I wanted to do, to be honest.
Yeah. We're hanging out with Chris Robinson on World Cafe of the Black Crowes. New album is called Happiness Bastard. So let's really get into the album here, because first album in 15 years since 2009's Before the Frost Until the Freeze. On first listen, man, like, talk about an authentic sound. Like, it is 100% undeniably Black Crowes. Did you think, look, we got to make a record that has our fingerprints all over it? You have to know this isn't somebody else. This is the Black Crowes.
Most definitely. And that was the kind of thinking behind not really dealing with any new music when we did the Shake Your Moneymaker tour. When the prospect of being back together came, the idea of going to do Shake Your Moneymaker every night, at first in my old sort of like mindset, I was like, oh, I don't know about that. You know, that's just, I don't know if that's, is that what we're doing? You know, we've never done that before.
Sure.
You know, like is that for other bands to do, you know? And then the second that, you know, I started to, you know, let it permeate my, like, where I was, I was like, oh, this is fantastic. And let me name drop a little bit. I was just talking to Steven Tyler about this, and he brought it up to me, and, you know, cause he was like, what were you doing all those years? You weren't doing this. And I was like in the psychedelic wilderness of my own imagination. Like, you know, I was in a band and being very creative, very happy and fulfilled in an artistic way, but it had nothing to do with, you know, we weren't in the music business in my solo group. We were doing something else and really living adjacent to that and existing. So to get back onto a bigger stage and more energy and like to revisit this music that, you know, again, it's not going back. It's only propels you forward, but it reignited this like passion and energy I had for rock and roll. And what we really feel is rock and roll for us, you know? Yeah. And so, and I was like, wow, we're going to make this record. I want an up-tempo banger after banger after banger.
Yeah. 2024, Black Crowes putting out bangers. The world is not ready for it. You're listening to World Cafe here with Chris Robinson. My name is Kaleo. So, you know, we're playing some tracks from the album today. And one song that kind of captures like a banger mentality, but also like all the different facets of what makes your sound so distinct and so rock is a song like Cross Your Fingers. Let's listen to it right now. It's Black Crowes, Cross Your Fingers on World Cafe.
What that's Why you wanna lie? Why you
Black Crowes from their new album, Happiness Bastards. The song is called Cross Your Fingers. We're talking with Chris Robinson about the record here on World Cafe. So, Jay Joyce, for people who don't know who Jay Joyce is, he is a producer who's worked with a lot of people, mostly in the country world, talking about people like Emmylou Harris, Eric Church, Patty Griffin, Keith Urban, but he's also done some rock stuff along the way.
I mean, yeah, I guess he just won Producer of the Year again because of, his work with Lainey Wilson, who is, I guess, if not... She will be a bona fide superstar if she's not now. She just
won Best Country Album. Yeah.
I mean, I think superstar is apropos for this young lady. But he made like some Cage the Elephant records and he is
White
a rock
Reaper. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a rock and roller at heart as well. And a guitar player, very talented guitar player.
So what's the story? Why did you want to work with him on this album?
It was a no brainer. I can't say enough about Jay, and not just his talent, but, the atmosphere. He has an incredible studio in Nashville called Neon Crossed in an old Baptist church. And, as a person that considers himself of a poetic construct, I love to blaspheme in a place like an old church. And, it was just, it couldn't have been better. You know what I mean? And it's funny because you don't know until you work with someone, but Rich and I, as different as we are, and our process is different, and I'm way more animated, and like my ideas, when I'm in a creative place, I like to go fast. And, we made the record in 2.5 weeks, which is, and I think that is also, come on, man. You know what I mean? I think if we had tried too hard to be too hip or tried to be something we're not, we would still be in the studio. We would have, you see these like modern records with like, lists like this of people working on, And it's just like, that's totally cool. And that's the way that world works. But we've never been a pop band. We've never...
Yeah. There is one last thing about the sort of studio thing. You were talking about how, you are maybe a little bit more animated, in comparison to Rich, but you guys have been the principal songwriters of this band for, ever since its inception. Has your process as songwriters evolved over the years, or do you still work pretty much according to form?
It's pretty much the same.
And, that's awesome.
Rich really sets the tone, and this goes back to something like, we wrote She Talks to Angels when we were still at mom and dad's, I probably had moved out and was there writing with him or doing laundry or getting food or something. But it's been the same since we were teenagers. Rich will play me something and then I instantly annoy him by saying, okay, well, turn that around. So that... You think that's the chorus, but that's the verse. And then that little intro, that's the chorus. And then we need to come up with a new intro. You know what I mean? And that's sure. What we do. And he reluctantly like does it. And then it falls into place. But I think the tone of what there's something emotional with something Rich does that sort also starts to set the scene for me. In what the lyric is going to be. Is this a forlorn song, anger, loss, joy, deviant sexual practices, drugs, whatever. There's a lot of me, obviously, in the lyrics, but I also like to write scenes. The loser is important. The person who doesn't have everything they ever wanted. The person who doesn't have the love of his life. The person that isn't involved in beauty and wealth and status. You know what I mean? And those are things that still interest me. And we're just so lucky to be able to have this experience through our travels and through art and through rock and roll that I'm never without you know, hopefully some sort of story in there, or being able to put two and two together. So when Rich plays me something, that instantly stirs something in me. I mean, I could do that on my own. I've written many, many songs for others. But it's but the black, and this is where in the past I got off track, because I wanted my songwriting voice to be a part of the Black Crowes. And something that I've realized through the through the last decade, especially, or 15 years, especially when we weren't together, is, you know what, I can do that. And I luckily I got that out of my system. But the Black Crowes, that's Rich and I. And exactly what I was telling you. And I think the real magic or mystery of that is just that, me and him in a room with acoustic guitar and notebooks and writing these songs.
Yeah. Chris Robinson is my guest here on World Cafe. Black Crowes' new album is called Happiness Bastards. We talked a little bit about Lainey Wilson with regard to Jay Joyce. Lainey Wilson making an appearance on the song Wilted Rose. Tell me just a little bit about why you wanted to work with her, why you wanted her on the track.
I mean, to be honest, it just, like anything else, there was no manipulating anything behind the scenes. My wife and I did the red carpet at the CMT Awards last year in Austin, and just randomly got out of the car on the red carpet to do our thing, and Lainey was in front of us. She was a lovely, lovely person, and I didn't even think anything of it. And then we're working, and then the song has all the elements of a country song, in a sense. It's not a country song, but it's a soulful song and a ballad. And it was really Jay. It was like, what if we get Lainey to sing on this? And we were like, yeah, all right.
That's awesome. And
that's the first time I've ever had a guest vocalist on a Black Crowes record. So so to me, it's like, it was exciting. That's exciting, you know, to have another voice, to have a female artist of her stature on the record. Of course, it was a great gift.
Awesome. Let's take a listen to it right now. Featuring Lainey Wilson. It's the Black Crowes with Wilted Rose.
Like a snake in the water, yeah, that stays underneath, ready to poison.
Black Crowes featuring Lainey Wilson. The song is Wilted Rose. You can find it on the new album from Black Crowes. First in 15 years, it is called Happiness Bastards. I'm talking with Chris Robinson. I am Kaleo on World Cafe. The last time you were on was in 2020, right before the pandemic, and we talked extensively about the breakup of the band and then the reconciliation and how much your relationship and dynamic with Rich had changed. One thing that you mentioned was that communication was a big part of it and how it could be a struggle for you at times. How has that communication balance worked in the last few years? Has it been more what you were looking for?
Completely. You know what I mean? And it's, I think Rich and I have put a lot of trust into each other and our lives. You know, like I said earlier, we're completely different people. Our lifestyles are completely different. Our, you know, Rich's dressing room is him in there, like in candle, like very subdued, playing guitar, warming up. My dressing room is like Funkadelic records and Friends, and everyone's like, you know what I mean?
That paints a picture for sure, though.
You know.
Like in how different your styles and approaches are. Like that, yeah, that speaks, yeah, volumes. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it can't be emphasized enough as well. Like, I'm very lucky through all the things I've been through, relationships, and that I've found my love of my life 7 years ago or whatever. And my partner and somebody who's really challenged me as a as their partner, as the as a you know a man or whatever, a person to you know leave you know I don't know. It's not just about being having empathy, but just about opening my world up to a lot of, you know, I've always been a, you know, we're artists, so always been very open to things. But, you know, I'm also a mid-century product from the Deep South, you know, like we, and Atlanta, we're almost like English people. And, you know, English people don't hug or anything. You know what I mean? Like, and, you know, you kind of, you know, that stiff upper lip sort of, you know, you grin and bear it kind of thing. Again, it's not like, oh, the bit we, you know, you and Rich should go to therapy. It's not like that. It's just about like getting out of each other's way, letting go of a lot of egocentric stuff. I mean, I just told you like, you know, oh, I want my songs in the Black Crowes. Okay, cool. Well, that's where we were. But you know what? And I, and Rich would be like, well, I don't want your songs. And I'm like, well, I think you're a bit ridiculous, you know, or like, well, why would, you know, whatever it could build up to. And I have to say as well, like, these are things we had to go through. I would never change anything. The worst, the best day of my life or the worst day in this band, you know what I mean? If I hurt someone's feelings or whatever, I can't take that stuff back. I can only move forward. You know, it's like, this is like a random comment, but you know, it's funny. I mean, we live in Laurel Canyon. People always bad now for some people badmouth Jim Morrison. And I'm like, all right, whatever. The guy, you know, he was, you know, he was inebriated most of the time, but he was 27 years old when he died. You know what I mean? Like he didn't
What were you expecting from him?
You know, he's you know, whether or not we know it, he's inventing this like persona that many people would embrace or whatever it was, you know, due to the time, the music, the drugs, blah, blah, blah. He was 27. Give the guy a break. You know what I mean? He didn't really have a chance to be like anything else, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you were asked to show the, you know, maturity and growth that you've shown, you know, in the last 20 years of your life and said, like, let's just make you do that when you're 27. Like, we'd all fail. Yeah. So it sounds like with time, you know, this is something that couldn't have happened without the time to develop and mature.
Exactly. And then, you know, I mean, it's, again, you talk about like where we are with people and their level of sensitivity and the way we want to deal with problems and they deal with depression, deal with a lot of things. It's a completely different than the world of selling millions of records in the world of rock and roll in 1992. I mean, it was hardly like, you know, a safe place. You know what I mean? And hey, trust me, it was, you know, it is what it is. And that's why I'm saying like, I you can't do it over. And I wouldn't. Because, you know, the reality is like you learn from those mistakes. You know, I learn from my own pain or my disappointment or, you know, could be anything, right? I learn from that just as much as, you know, it's not just the good things that happened.
Yeah.
It's not just the, you know, and by the way, during all of that, I had an amazing time.
I should hope so. I mean,
maybe too much of a good time sometimes, but hey, again, that was my, you know, that was what it was about.
So that you would never indulge that hypothetical where it's like, if you could go back in time and tell your younger version of yourself, something, a piece of advice, you wouldn't do it. You'd let them ride and let them make the mistakes they made. Or would you say, hey, do everything, but don't do that. Or make sure you
do this. It's hard to look back in your 20s and feel bad when every day is a great hair day. You know what I mean? Like we looked amazing, you know? No, I really wouldn't. That doesn't mean that I haven't told, you know, if I haven't apologized to people or whatever, or felt like, oh man, what was that about? You know what I mean? Like that this means that I don't have recognition of those things. It just means like, yeah, this is the path. This is what, you know, has got me here today. And growing up in Atlanta, people in Atlanta would say, you can't get to it unless you go through it. You know what I mean? And that sounds silly, but it's really true. And they also used to say in Atlanta, it's hard, but it's fair. Going to have a good time when we get there. You know what I mean? And I'm like, that makes a lot of sense, too.
Yeah. You know?
And it's a wild life to, you know, Rich, again, like I said, Rich and I are very different, but we're both outsiders. All of this comes from outsider stuff. You know, I wasn't employable. I was like really crazy as well, you know, with music and art and, you know, experience. And, you know, I still to this day, I love being at home. I love just chilling out with my wife and our friends. I love Los Angeles. I love being here. But I'm like, man, we could be in Jamaica. We could go to, you know, Spain. We could go to, you know what I mean? Like, let's get out of here. You know, like, I've always had a wanderlust. And again, that gets back to where we started about part of the creative process. It's just fuel. You know what I mean? It's just inspiration and ideas and just being a part of it as opposed to watching it go by.
We're talking with Chris Robinson of the Black Crowes on World Cafe about their new album, First in 15 Years, called Happiness Bastards. Let's close with one of my favorite tracks on the record. Here's Flesh Wound. That is Flesh Wound from the Black Crowes. The new album is called Happiness Bastards. Chris Robinson, you are an A-plus guest. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. Congrats on the album. It is fantastic, and we look forward to having you back on again soon.
Anytime, and thank you very much for a delightful conversation.
You got it. My name's Kaleo. More in a moment on World Cafe.
If you've never donated to the NPR network before, that's okay. Public radio is available to everyone for free. But we do rely on listener support from those who are able to give. So join the community of supporters for Public Media Giving Days, coming up on May 1st and 2nd. Please give at donate.npr.org, and thank you.
This message is brought to you by NPR sponsor Lisa in collaboration with West Elm. Discover the new natural hybrid mattress, expertly crafted from natural latex and certified safe foams, designed with your health and the planet in mind. Visit leesa.com to learn more.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Bombas. Bombas makes absurdly soft socks, underwear, and t-shirts. And for every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness. Get 20% off your first purchase at bombas.com/NPR and use code NPR.